What enjoyment. We have been justified, and we can boast in exulting joy. It's all because of the Word of God. Because God has all done this, and today we can enjoy Him to the uttermost in every aspect. And the general subject of this weekend conference of the Northern California, the building branding conference of the Northern California churches, the general subject, let's read it together. Vision, our commission, and the way to advance the Lord's recovery. Well, the Lord's recovery is to bring us into the full enjoyment of the triune God. But in order to accomplish that, we're in it, but this enjoyment of God is keep increasing in us. The more we get into Him, the more enjoyment we have. So there's a vision, also there's a commission for us. And in doing that, we need to be equipped. And the Lord also told us how do we advance the Lord's recovery today. So yesterday, we have a very good beginning in the message one. Today, we'll come to this message two. The message two is the way. How can we be constituted so that we can cooperate with the operating, living, triune God to accomplish His eternal purpose? So in this outline is composed essentially these three aspects. The Roman numeral one essentially tells us what's the vision, and then also give us what's the commission. And then finally, when we get into this practice, this title says PSRP, that will give us the way. So to start with, Roman numeral 1 says, our God has an eternal economy according to His will and a good pleasure. For this, I listed a few verses. Let me read to you. And if you have, you can read along through your Bible. By the way, it's very important to have the verses, because otherwise, we have no base. The verses from the Bible, which is the speaking of God Himself. All scripture are God's breath. He speaks, and then He's recorded down. Later on, we'll see into it. So tell us what's His intention. Everything God wants us to know is recorded in the Bible. So it's very important, as the brother say, there are certain part we perhaps need to recite it, be able to commit to our memory for our constant and the long-term supply and the enjoyment. So first verse here is Revelation 4:11. This is at the background because of time. I only read the key verse. Before this, the 24 elders before the throne, the praise, that's their speaking. So you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. Why? For you have created all things. And because of your will, they were and were created. Most of us, at least I did, always wondered about why the universe exists. What's the meaning of this existence? The vast universe, wonderfully created, and certainly that's outside. But within us, we also wonder, what's the purpose of my living on the earth? This verse tells us very clearly. It says, you are worthy because of your will. The word. All these things, they were. They came into existence, and they were created. That is, initially, there's nothing exist. The only existence in the whole universe is triune God Himself. Everything else was created by God. Why? Because of His will. And then we come to the next Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Maybe we should read, let's read it together. Making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, unto the economy of the fullness of time, headed up all things in Christ, the things on the heavens, that the things on the earth in Him. They say very clearly where it's coming from. It says all this, that is the mystery of his will. There's a mystery contained in himself. So it's a mystery. Nobody knows. But then this mystery is will is according to his good pleasure. That is, God within himself, the Trinity, he has a good pleasure. And so there's a divine counsel. Then they make a decision. That's his will. And then this one he purposed in himself. And the 10 says, this one, because of his will, there's an economy. That is a way, an arrangement, a design, a law, a house of law, certain things, economy was produced. So unto the economy of the fullness of time, so therefore, time come into existence to carry out his good will. Head up all things in Christ, the things in the heaven, things in the earth, in him. That is, this whole universe was created, and certain things happen, so that there's a need for some recovery. That's why called Lord's recovery. That's also the recovery. Today, this recovery is still continuing from the creation, from that time. And then, what is this purpose, though? That's in Ephesians 1:22. And he subjected all things under his feet, give him to be head of things to the church. So outwardly, there's a chaotic things, but then he will conquer certain things, subdue everything. For what purpose? All this, for his good pleasure, according to his will, is to the church. And the verse 23 says, and which the church is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all and in all. This is God's purpose. This is our vision. What God is doing, he created the whole universe, the whole existence, for one thing. That is, he was subjected everything under his feet to the church. That the church is what? His body. And the fullness of the one who fills all in all. So immediately you have Christ and the church. The great mystery of the whole universe. To accomplish that, our vision. What are we doing? We want to be one with the Lord. That's what he's doing. If we align with his doing, that's the meaning. That's why you are here. That's why we're here. That's why the whole universe exists. We have to see this. Otherwise, your life, everything is empty. No purpose. Just chaotically going on. Eventually, might distinct. Why is that? Well, because God has a purpose. In this period of time, he wants to accomplish certain things, which is what? Everything done to the church. The church, his body. Hallelujah. Amen. Today, we are in the church. Amen. We are in his body. As the member of his body, to be his full expression, the fullness of the one who fills all and in all. Amen. But in order to accomplish this, and then he also tells us we have to have a commission. Commission is what? Well, it's, I did not listen here, but let me just tell you, in Matthew, after all these things at the very end, he says what? After to accomplish all these things, he told us that, go therefore, disciple all the nations. This chapter 28, verse 19. Disciple all the nations, baptize them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. That's your commission. You go, teach all the nations. Teaching them what? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you all the days until the consummation of the age. There's a period of time called age. There's a consummation of the age. This period of time is to accomplish something. And he did it. But today, after that, you'll know in Matthew, after he did all this, he came incarnated to be a man, accomplished all the judicial redemption. And through the death and the resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit, came to indwell in us. Behold, I'm with you. I am with you. He never left. Matthew never recorded he left. John never recorded he left. He has been with us all the time. I am with you all the days until the consummation of the age. So that's his commission. He had done his part. But today he's continuing to work through you, through me, who are his disciples. So we are commissioned to go to all the nations, to teach them, to disciple them, so that all these things can be done, all things to the church, to build up the church, the fullness of the one who fills all and in all. And how does he do this? If we're going to teach, we're going to disciple them, what's the content? What do you teach them? How do you disciple them? And then that's come to this Roman numeral 2. Is that right? Roman numeral 2 says what? The centrality of the Word of God in His divine economy. God did everything actually through the Word of God. Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In Revelation also says the Christ in his name is what? The Word of God. The whole universe is framed by the Word of God. Everything comes into being through his speaking. That's the Word of God. So to carry out God's eternal economy is all through the God's speaking. Now, in old times, he spoke through many portions in many ways, in the prophets and so forth. That was God speaking, right? Through the prophets and so forth in the Old Testament. And then when he came, he spoke what? In the Son. And today, he's still speaking in the Son through you, through me. Because today, where is the Son? It's in you. Christ today is in you. If you don't speak, Christ cannot speak. But you speak in your spirit, Christ is continuing speaking to build up his body, to accomplish his eternal economy. So you have to see the centrality of the Word of God in his economy. So we need to be constituted with the Word of God. So previously, a few minutes, by the way, I have to, because there's no clock here, let me take out my watch here so I can watch the time. Sorry, let me arrange my clock, my watch here. Okay. So this comes to Roman numerals, the two, the centrality of the Word of God in his economy. And then the Word of God came in various ways. Roman numeral 3 says the four stages of divine revelation. These are four stages. You may say this is the foundation, how the Word of God came to us, came into being in his speaking. So it says, men spoke or wrote from God while being born by the Holy Spirit. This is 2 Peter 1:21. For no prophecy were ever born by the will of man, but men spoke from God while being born by the Holy Spirit. So, how the Word, what's in the Bible today, where it's coming from? It's all by speaking to people, and then they wrote it down. And how do those speaking, these people, how they get those speaking? And then it says it's born by the Spirit. This word born, if you look in the dictionary, it's really carrying them. You born something, you take with you. And so forth. And then this is what, producing it, carry it, so that these persons, they are before the Lord carry them. And then the word came to them. The burden came to them, and they speak in that way. So then it's got to record it, it got to written down, and that's where today's Bible is coming to us. But then this word, initially, of course, in the Old Testament was written mostly in Hebrew, maybe a few other Aramaic and so forth. In New Testament, it's all written in what we call the Koine Greek. And then not everybody know the ancient Hebrew, nor today even Greeks, they don't know Koine Greek either. But so they need to be translated. into various languages. Today, in your hand, probably the English one. The Spanish-speaking one may have Spanish language, and the Chinese translated into Chinese, and so forth. So it needs to be translated to reach to all the people, all the nations, all tongues, and so forth. And the third part is that once this written down, also need to be interpreted. Many people say, oh, I just read the pure Bible. Yes, you can. But then the question is, do you understand? Do you understand it? So the Lord, in his wisdom, he actually says Bible need to be interpreted. In Old Testament, you have the teachers, the prophets, and priests to interpret it to you, to explain it to you. In the New Testament, it's even more so. He says in the church, there's apostles, prophets, what? Evangelists and shepherds and teachers. And all of them, actually, is speaking the word of God and interpreting the word of God. Evangelists, you have to speak the word of God and interpret, explain to people. Apostles, sharing the word of God also to establish the churches. They got commissioned to go to all kinds of places, like Apostle Paul traveled through the whole Judea, even reached Rome, many other places. To what? To speak the word of God. Prophets are speaking the word of God, and so forth. But then they need to know the word of God and be able to interpret that to the people. So the word needs to be interpreted. And many people, oh, I just read it. And I tell you, 10,000 people have 10,000 versions according to their natural idea, natural concept. And this is also even in the New Testament. It says you have to be able to cut the word straight. That means what? Many people did not, they read the word, but they did not cut it straight. It's all crooked according to their natural concept, disposition, their own background, culture, and so forth. So the word need to be interpreted to cut it straight according to the divine revelation. So it's very much need to be taught and interpreted correctly according to God's economy. That's what the Paul's word. Many people did this and that and so forth, but not according to God's economy. So Paul even tells some to prohibit them. Don't let them teach that way. But you have to cut the word straight, told Timothy, because you know from whom you have learned. So therefore, in order to be able to teach the word straight, you have to learn first. Have to learn it. You don't want to come to how do you learn? The PSRP, okay? Okay, before that. And so then, not only did it interpret, D says, this has to be studied by the believers to become the constitution of the believers. Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly. So you have to get this word as a living word, so it's dwelling there. It's not just there, dwell in there. Let the word of God, the living word of God, dwells in you, right? And so then, in Deuteronomy, I don't have time to read that. In the Old Testament, it says you have to put this word everywhere, in your home, your doorpost, bearing on your heart, and so forth and so on. In other words, the word is everywhere. It should saturate your entire living environment. In Acts 17:11, this I will read it to you. It says, now these people are those saints or those people in Berea, okay? And they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all eagerness. They received the word with eagerness. They really want to get into it. It's not, oh, I heard it. That's it. And they examined the scripture daily to see whether these things were so. What does that mean? They say these ones, these Berean saints, they are more noble than Thessalonians. Because what? Because they examine, because with all eagerness, examine the scripture daily. With all eagerness. They really want to do it. It's not, oh, well, it's another time I have to do this. But they're eager to do it. Examine, that means what? Turn everything in detail. Examine it. Okay? To see whether these things were so. That's you heard a certain word. You want to confirm it. You want to get it constituted into you. You want to understand it so that become part of you and that you agree with it. Not only agree with it, you are enthusiastically receive it as the word of God. These ones are more noble. We all born, like Apostle said in Corinthians, not many were well born, but we have a rebirth. You have been born into royal family. Hallelujah. So now you have a noble life in you. But in order to carry it out, what makes you more noble? You get into the Word with all the eagerness. Examine them and become part of you. You accept it and so forth. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 4. Okay, so this up to this point, I'm really trying to tell you the centrality of the Word of God to carry out God's eternal economy. And that's our vision. That's also our commission. But if you're not equipped with the Word of God, you cannot carry out your commission. Because everything in God's economy is carried out by His Word. Later on, we'll see that yesterday, the message one at the conclusion there, right? The two Roman numerals. What's this here? Yesterday? Where is that? Message one. Okay, Roman numeral 6 and 7. We'll come to that as actually the conclusion of this message also. That is, we have to be able to, this commission is given by, Matthew 28, go, disciple the nations, teach them. Teach them what? The Word of God. And that the way you have to teach that is why you have to know yourself. You have to be constituted. And then your constitution, you digest it, become part of you, and you experience. So you are not only just speak from the doctrinal way, but also confirmed with your own experience. Therefore, not only it builds up you, you'll be constituted, then you can share this as the gospel to the others. So that's the, this PSRP and the what? BNPB. Well, these acronyms, we'll get into later, okay? Say, okay. So capital A, Roman numeral 4, right? So the best way for God's word to be constituted into the believers is prayer reading, studying, reciting, and prophesying. So we'll unpack this in turn. It says God's word not only has been written, translated, interpreted, it also needs to be immediately, universally received, assimilated, and constituted into the believers. Immediately, with eagerness. Okay? Received, assimilated, studied, examined, and so forth, so that we can be constituted. So the way to practice is to be constituted. To practice to be constituted into us. Constitute with the Word of God. You have to know, I already said, the Word of God is God Himself. The Word is God. You have to be constituted with God. The Word is God. Constituted with the Word. So how do we do this? Number one is prayer reading. The prayer reading, hallelujah. You not only read, you read in your spirit by praying. So prayer reading, reading with a praying spirit to fellowship with the Lord. When we come to the Word of God has to be life to us. So it's a matter of the Spirit. The Word is not only God Himself. The Word is the Spirit. The Word is Christ. Christ is the Word. The Word is Spirit. The Spirit is the Word. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Right? And Ephesians says, what? What's the word? The word is the spirit. The spirit is the word. So you can see that. How do you speak God? How do you convey the spirit to others? How do you impart Christ into others? The vehicle is the word. When you speak the word to others in your spirit, And that to them, it will be you speaking to their spirit to convey Christ and the triune God into them. Spirit is what you cannot touch. But to solidify the spirit is the word. Because today, Christ is the spirit. And as the spirit, Christ can get it into you. You want they to be regenerated with the life into them. How do you not get life into them? Through the vehicle, the carrier is the word of God. You speak the word in the spirit, that word into them. And then with their understanding, when they believe or by faith, they receive the word. And then that word is the life-giving spirit in them to give them life to regenerate them. But if you don't have the word, with the written word, speaking word, there's no way for them to be saved. And after they got saved, how do you nourish them? How do you cause them to grow? You nourish them by what? By the milk of the word. They are saved by hearing. Hearing by what? By the word of God. So you can see how important is the word to carry out the God's economy. So you don't have the word, you have no way to be nourished yourself, let alone to nourish others. So we need to let the word of God dwell richly so that we can be get nourished. Daily, we can be nourished and we can grow unto full maturity. So this is so important. You have to realize the word of God is actually God himself, incarnated, solidified in the word. If at any time, brothers and sisters, you feel down, you feel you have no hope, you feel you are away from God, the easiest way is to take a word, take a piece of any word in the Bible, pray, read it. I guarantee you, you will be rescued. The word will give you life. The word will dispel any kind of a, what you call this, desperation in you, depression in you, any kind of negative things will be swallowed by the Spirit. Amen. It's solid. You can, something you can get a hold of. If it's just a spirit, you don't know. But when you pray, read, use your spirit, exercise your spirit, set your mind on the word, oh Lord Jesus, call the name and pray, read. I guarantee you, in 1 minute, you'll be lifted up. I have that experience. I hope you have that experience, and you can share that with the new ones. Then they will be saved. Not only initially saved, you can save you daily, moment by moment, anytime, anywhere, any place. So we need to pray read by exercising your spirit to touch the word of God so that the word can be imparted into us, the word can develop in us, the word can deepen in his presence in us. So give us a vital relationship with triune God himself. So this, what B says, this will lay a good foundation through prayer reading. That's a foundation. The second part is studying. This is actually the most important part in a more advanced way. The new believers, many times we just say, just prayer reading, a verse, you get a supply. Surely, you got a word of life. You got a spirit, nourish you, cherish you, and so forth. But that is not so solid. We not only need to take the word milk of the word, we also eat the solid food that's in the word. That's Apostle Paul's exhortation to us. Certainly we need the milk, we need the drink, but also we also need the solid word, which will build you up, strengthen you, make you grow strong. Okay, so studying the title, okay, now this is studying, is that we need to get into the word by understanding the word. Okay, later on I will get to that. Studying the title, this is outline driven. I guess yesterday some brother shared the message that's in 1984. Brother Lee finished the life study and began to do the crystallization study. And by that time, you know, life study, there's no outline, just speak and so. But crystallization, every message has an outline. The outline is the crystallization, the summary, you may say, of the whole message. So those kind of things, they are outline driven. Outline governs all the content. So in order to be able to get into that, this is the way to do it. I heard not long ago, Brother Lin Hong with Simpson was here, right? Give you some history about this. And well, I don't have the privilege to get to that, but I did hear some time ago told us we have some fellowship. He says in the early days, in those days, and they came faithfully, you know, these brothers from Taiwan 7 times a year and so forth. But every time they came and they have fellowship with Brother Lee, Brother Lee always tells, you did not follow the up-to-date speaking. And they sort of, they really take time to get into it. But every time Brother Lee said, you didn't get into it. So they really went back and then examined this and so forth. You know, my version may not be exactly, but that's the version I heard. So they find a way. They say, okay, how do we get into this word, up-to-date speaking? So they come up with this PSRP. And so they began to practice. And after they did this a couple of times, Brother Lee said, now you're getting into it now. Because this changed their speaking, changed their vocabulary. You see, what you speak is what's in you. If you don't have that, you will not be able to speak. If you speak a certain way, that means what? That's what how you think. Our speaking express how you think, how you look at things. So this speaking is very important. So this is the way that they began to get into these outlines. And then later on, in 1997, before the Brother Lee passed away, he said very explicitly in some vital group messages, say, this is my current instruction to all the churches, PSRP, to get into the Word. You see, there's various practices. Calling on the name Lord is a practice. Prayer reading the Word is a practice. It's a practice. All helping us to contact the Lord, to get into the Word, to be constituted. And this way is even the practice, which is not an article of faith, okay? You know, PSRP is not an article of faith. You want to do it, it'll help you. If you don't, it's your loss. But you'll still be saved, okay? You'll still be saved. But many times in academics, we say, you learn from the master. You know, all the PhD students want to say, who is the most Nobel Prize winner? Who is the best one? I want to be in his lab, learn from him. Don't you want to learn from the master? Today, I would say, Watchman Nee, Witness Lee, they are the current master. You learn from him. That's why we pray. It's not that their word is that, you know, replace the Bible, but they teach the Bible, cut it straight. And then we don't have to take too much time to get it. We can get to up to date right away. Let me say a little bit. You know, in academic, say, you know, I mentioned mathematics. You don't have to learn mathematics from 18th century on. You learn what? What's the current? You bring in up to date right now. But you learn from the master. Otherwise, you never catch up. Right? So this is what I'm saying. Learn the up to date speaking, which is all in the publication of LSA. The most current one is still coming out. You put it all together in the Seven Feasts, the online. So you're prophesying this, the ICSC of the last year and so forth. That's very good. That's constituted into you. You learn from the master. You have the highest, most insight, most rich speaking. You don't want to learn the mathematician from 18th century, because everything they learn is incorporated, updated in the 21st century now. Okay, that's a side remark, but to motivate you why it's important to PSRP the outlines. Okay. Okay. Very good. I still have a bit of time. Okay. All right. Studying. The title, that's why outline, you have a title. Then you have subtitles, that's Roman numerals, and then the sub-points with supporting verses to see the structure, logic, reasonable meaning, and the line of thought of the outline. You should consider this. Oh, I just make a remark, because sometimes people ask me, we only pray the Bible. How can we pray the outline? I said, we are not praying the outline. We are using a praying spirit to read the outline. Don't you need to do everything? You say praying spirit to do anything? I would say you probably should be praying inside when you study your physics, mathematics, because you want to be in the Spirit. I'm not saying the physics, that's the Bible, but I want to be in the Spirit. You see what I'm saying? So when we say we pray with these, we are not elevating these things. They are the same as the Bible. But I want to use my Spirit to examine these things is according to the Word or not. Okay? So when we say we pray with the outline, we are not elevating the outline the same as Bible. But we do consider this outline as an interpretation of the Bible, so therefore I need to use my Spirit to taste it. If something is wrong, my Spirit will tell me. Okay? So we need to pray with it. Always in the praying spirit to touch the Word or to touch anything. Always be in the Spirit. You go to a dentist, you should be in the Spirit. Pray to the Lord, Lord, you know, my tooth be examined. Boy, there might be something there. But we should be in the Spirit. Okay? I just want to clarify this because some, you know, I've got questions from FDTA trainee so forth. I need to explain to them. And they say, how do we do this? Well, I just told you, Bereans, they study it. They examine it to see whether it's, that's the case or not. And this is why we need to, this sentence is very important, all right? To see the structure, logic, reasonableness, meaning of the line of thought of the outline. That's a logical sequence. Study the truth word by word, term by term, phrase by phrase, verse, strengthen, and substantiate every important point. The speaking of the Word of God is always need interpretation. When you preach the gospel, you need to interpret it. All the commentaries, every Lord's Day morning, it denominates of what the preachers speak something, what they do. They do not just read the Bible, right? They need to interpret, need to explain it. So whenever we speak the Word of God, we always need to explain. The question is, how do you explain? That's the problem. Everybody read the Bible. But everyone has their own interpretation. We also need the Bible, but we also need to interpret according to the divine economy, the central aim. What's the purpose of the Bible? It's not to make you a better person. It make you a holy person. Not to make you a good man or make you a God man. That's the right interpretation. Not to save the world, but to build up the church, bring in the kingdom of God on earth, to replace all the nations. That's the way you read the Bible. That's the way you interpret the Bible. That's the way you speak to people, according to God's divine economy. Not according to any value, the world, the social, this and that. And the B says, use the New Testament Recovery Version and the Life Study to help you in your study. Okay, C is the most important part, okay? Seeing and understanding the line of thought as well as the crucial terms are the keys to study the truth. You have to understand the logical sequence. The Word of God is logical. You know what the logical is? Logical is logos. Logical is reasonable in, I think, in Romans 12, right? You know, that's your reasonable service. That means that's your logical service. That means your service according to the Word of God. Logikon. That's a derivation from logos. So you have to, the Lord is very logical because His Word is logical. According to His Word, you are logical. You are not according to the Word of God. You are not logical. This is what the renewing of the mind. Our value change. Our evaluation change. Our reasoning change. That way you change. If your logic, your reason, your value system do not change, then you are not changing. You are not being renewing in your mind. What considered logical? young people say, well, the most logical thing for me to do now is that I get the best education, earn the most money, and so forth. That's the most logical thing for me to do. But is that according to God? Is that reasonable? The reasonable in Romans 12 is what? What? What's your reasonable service? Present your body. Is that logical? According to God, it's logical. According to the world, it's not logical. You should care for yourself, this and that. But it says what? Present your body. As a living sacrifice. That's logical. That's reasonable. That according to God. So you have to see, the Word of God is the most logical thing in the whole world. If anything against God, you are illogical. According to the world situation, Apostle Paul could have done many, many things, excel in the Judaism. But one day, he saw the vision. His logic changed now. He wanted about counting all those things as refuse to gain the super preciousness of Christ. What happened? What happened? His value changed. Therefore, his logic changed. That's called the renewing of the mind. If you don't get this, you never get into the Word. So the Word becomes what? Your guideline. Govern how you live. Because now that's a reasonable thing to do. Many people, you'll know that, they sacrifice their whole glorious this career in the past, just like a Mary, you know, broken the alabaster. To people, it's wasted. But to God, it's what? To God, it's a precious thing. It's a sweet savor. It's the most valuable, logical thing Mary can do. So when we read the Word, we have to study it, understand it, see the logical sequence, so it becomes our logic. So that the renewing of the mind, that will change your living, change your priority, change everything you make your decision. To see the line of thought, logical, understand. Okay, later on I will see. Okay. Now I have a reference here, which is Matthew 13. You all know this. I will read very quickly. This is soul went out to soul. I simplify it. You know, four kinds of ground. And then, you know, some, you know, wayside taken away, some into good soil, and then produce 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. So disciples ask the Lord interpret for them. And what's the interpretation? Okay, I will read it to you. 13:19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom but does not understand, the evil one comes and snatch away that which has been sown in his heart. This is the one sown beside the way. You listen to the word, you do not understand, you'll be snatched away. And verse 23 says what? But the one sown unto the good earth, and hears the word and understand. What's the good earth? You hear the word, you understand. Who by all means bear fruits, produces 100-fold, 60-fold, and 130-fold. Understanding is the key. If you receive the word you don't understand, you'll be taken away. Because why? It's superficial. It did not get into you. So you'll forget it. You will not be living that way. But you understand. Understand here has the meaning that you can put things together. Put this together, this, whatever. If this, then else, and so forth. Well, that's the way to go. You prove a theorem. That's the way. It's the correct way. That's called the understanding. Don't understand, you just don't know how to put it together. Or this one says, this, how to put it together, I don't understand. If you don't understand, the word will not be in you. You will be taken away. But you understand, that means what? It's get into you. Your mind got changed. Your reason got changed. You will follow that because everyone follow their reason. Okay? You need to understand the line of thought, how it's developed, and so forth. All right. So this kind of a studying, I will add a comment here, this studying God's Word, there is solid foundation, okay? And so that will facilitate your spiritual growth and equip believers, you know, with the truth that can transform their lives. And also, you can explain why this is the case, and then you'll be logically presented to other people, and then they can receive it. All right? Now, here, I think I have a reference here, is 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Let me read that to you. 1 Peter 2, 2. A newborn babe, long for the guileless milk of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation. I don't have too much time to get into this. I will make this reference to you, especially read the footnote number 3 and the number 5. Okay? Because my time is limited. Get into this verse, 1 Peter 2, 2, footnote number 3 and the number 5. Here is the milk of the word. It says of the word, again, is the word is reasonable. This word of the reasonableness. Okay? And in order that by this reasonable word, you can grow unto salvation. And unto salvation means what? Unto full salvation. Because our entire Christian life is by the word. We're saved by the word. We grow by the word. We got what? Regenerated by the word. We got renewed by the word. We are transformation by the word. Our confirmation is still by the word. Eventually, you know what? Our glorification is still by the word of God. That's our whole entire life, by the word of God. But you have to understand. So I just refer that to you. Because of time, I'll have to move on. All right? Number 3, reciting. Musing, prayer reading, to digest and absorb the truth, to be able to speak the truth to others for long-term nourishment and enjoyment. And these are the verse in here. It's Psalm 119, verse 15, in the footnote number 1. Again, I don't have much time to read it. It says the following, I will muse upon your precept and regard your way. And it's a footnote on the musing. Muse. That means you have something. This, in some ways, is the chewing the cud. You have the word in there. Musing what? You just keep enjoying it. Think about it. Consider this. Consider that. Speak it. And so forth and so on. Just like you have the word stored in you, many times you take it out to think about it, consider it, singing it, and so forth and so on. Okay? And the A says, 3A, to recite is to be able to repeat the line of thought with the meaning of the crucial term. This kind of a recitation is based on understanding, not pure memory. So once you understand the structure of the outline, the title, the subtitles, and so forth, you know, title is this, and so forth, and then you have logical, so easy for you to remember it. It's not a raw memory, but by understanding, you know what's the logical development. And the B says, spontaneously, we will be able to recite what we have pray-read and the study. When contacting people, speak the truth meaningfully with understanding. Don't just repeat. They ask you why, you just repeat the same thing. You have a good teacher. People, your student ask you. You have 10,000 different ways to tell them the same thing. But if you don't understand, you just repeat the same thing because you did not understand. This is why Brother Lee, he can speak the same topic with 10,000 different ways. He said, I only serve one thing, beef. But if you want, I can dice it, I can fry it, I can give it steak, I can boil it, I can do it, but only still serving you the beef. Because he understands the word. From every angle he presented to you, but never deviate from the central truth. That's why you need to understand. If you don't understand, you can only say one way. Okay? All right. Prophesying. Is that what I... Yeah, speak meaningfully, understand, prophesy. To supply and minister truths of life for the building up of the church, the body of Christ. This is for the begetting, preaching the gospel, nourishing, having home meetings, perfecting, having small group meetings, and the building. That's the P. That's the MPBB. They all depend on the word. You want to save people, be getting people, you need to speak the word of God, right? You want to nourish people, you have to speak the word of God. You want to perfecting the saints and so forth, and you have the word of God. You have to building up the church, what? Prophesying builds up the church. If you don't speak the word of God, with what do you build up the church? So that's why you have this PSRP for the B and PB. If you don't have the PSRP, you don't have the word of God in you, then you will not have the material, the resource, be able to genuinely to build up the church, which by preaching the gospel, be getting people. They once got saved, you need to nourish them with the word. You what? Perfect them with the word, you build them up with the word. So A says, after having prayer reading, study, and recite the outline, we will spontaneously know how to prophesy. Prophesying according to the truth will give structure to and enhance the prophesying by inspiration and enlightenment. Because you got to inspire. You got to enlighten so you can speak something. C, to prophesy is not to give complete message. Prophesying is based on what we have recited. What we have recited is built upon what we have studied. What we have studied is based upon what we have prayed read. If we do not pray read, study, and recite, how can we prophesy? Throughout the week, we need to PSRP. Every day. Then on the Lord's Day, you will be able to prophesy. If people cannot prophesy, that means during the weekday, they did not do the PSRP. So, conclude with the goal of PSRP, to enter into the high peak truth and the new language of the new age. You have to learn the new language. Language conveys the truths, ideas, and so forth. You don't have the language, you cannot convey. So you need the language. Yeah. If you don't have the AI language, you don't know what they are talking about. But the AI represents a lot of things in there, right, and so forth. You have to know the new language. Two, for the unique truths of the divine revelation to constitute the universal, the union, mingling, and the incorporation of God and man to fulfill God's eternal purpose. So eventually, this is to for God's eternal economy, to build up the body of Christ for the consummation of the age. So this, you can go back to read the last two numerals of message one. Can we do that? Then Roman numeral 6, message 1. Let's read together. Amen. This is the inflow. Roman number 7. Amen. So where do you do it? That's message number 3. Okay, I'll stop here. Amen.
Well, saints, I really appreciated our brother speaking in the beginning of the message that we need a vision of God's eternal economy. Amen. He created all things because of his will. And today our living should be governed by the mystery of his will, by his eternal economy. But then our brother pointed out that there is the centrality of the Word of God in carrying out his economy. In Matthew 28:19, the Lord charges and commissions us to go and disciple the nations, teaching them the contents of God's economy. But in order for us to carry out that commission, there needs to be a way for us to receive, to digest, to assimilate, and to be constituted with the words of our faith. And I appreciate it from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. I was reminded by this verse. If you lay these things before the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, being nourished with the words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have closely followed. I appreciate that in order to minister the riches of Christ, to be a good minister of Christ, we need to be ones who are being nourished with the words of the faith, the words of God's New Testament economy, and the words of the good teaching, the healthy apostles' teaching. And these words you have closely followed. When I was a student in college, we were taking care of some new ones. And eventually, I was reading the Bible at that time, and I would speak to them using my own words. But eventually, another graduate student and I, we just came to this realization that the only thing that can help these new ones is the words of the ministry.
Amen.
Then I have it settled in my being that I need to speak what Brother Nee and what Brother Lee speaks to these new ones. And the way today, we have the way to be to closely follow the words of the ministry. We can take the way of prayer reading, of studying, of reciting, and of prophesying. Of course, we need to be nourished by prayer reading. But in order for there to be the long-term nourishment, we also need to go further to study, to recite, and eventually to prophesy.
Amen.
I was reminded, I think John Nelson Darby says that the way he learns the truth is by speaking it maybe 23 times or 46 times. And I remember Brother Benjamin Chen once said, how much of the truth is constituted into us doesn't depend on how much we have heard the truth, but how much we speak the truth. And I appreciate in these days we can be constituted by taking this way, not just pray reading, but also studying and reciting, and eventually to prophesy,
Amen.
To speak to the new ones, to the unbelievers, to carry out God's economy.
Amen. As I was considering this matter of the need to be constituted to be able to minister life, I was reminded of some verses, some of which were already referenced. But in Matthew 12:34, it says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, "Proclaim the word, be ready in season and out of season." And then lastly, I was touched with Matthew 24:45, where it says, "Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time." And when we consider this matter of proper time, this also can be translated opportunity. And I'm realizing more and more in my life, especially just contacting people, we have some set times, like the prophesying meeting, where we can prepare, or maybe I've been tasked to give a message or a supporting word, and you know when you're going to speak, and you can prepare, and you can take some time. It's kind of like cramming for a midterm, and then you speak.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, these seasons are, in our experience, these opportunities to minister Christ actually are not very much, usually not under our control. And what we speak will depend on what our heart is filled with.
Right.
When I've been reading news for the whole week, I will meet people and share with them current events. But if we are filled by the way of this way that was given to us and laid before us, filled by pray reading the word and even the ministry, studying and reciting in the way of constitution, then when we have the opportunity, out of the abundance of our heart, we will speak life.
Amen.
We will speak Christ.
Amen.
We will proclaim the gospel, and we will nourish people for the building up of the church.
Yep.
Hallelujah for the word of God.
Amen.
I appreciated this sentence. I have to paraphrase. I didn't write it down perfectly, but we are being brought in the Lord's recovery into the full enjoyment of the triune God.
Amen.
And we now have seen there's a way to enter that. This is the word of God. And not just hearing the word, but receiving it, I appreciate it, with eagerness.
Amen.
These verses about the Bereans who received the word in this kind of noble way are so touching to me. Saints, this must be our experience. How much of the word do we anticipate every morning? I so appreciated this. We've heard these little prayers. One that has helped me is even in the night before, Lord, help me wake up tomorrow and come to you.
Amen.
Help me have my heart turn to you tomorrow morning.
Amen.
Even help me wake up on time.
Amen.
To have the time with the Lord in the morning is not just to read the news, not to read our emails, not to check the WhatsApp things that we're all part of now, but to come to the Lord.
Amen.
To open to him.
Amen.
And when we have this anticipation of the word, he will honor that.
Yes.
He will speak his word into us. Now then, I appreciated our coming to the word. There's a little history here that the Bible has not always been available as it is today. It locked up essentially as the Latin Vulgate for so long. Then many suffering very difficult situations, the Bible became translated. This is the second, now we have the translated word. But then, over time, the interpretation of the word has been brought forth. Now, we are those who not only have the word in our language, we have the interpreted word.
Amen.
When Philip came to the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip had been eating the word. So he could now open the scripture to that one. That one then received the word because Philip had it dwelling in him, richly. And I just finally appreciated that these are all now in the outlines. Everything is there. We don't have to go looking all over. We just eat the outlines. The outlines bring to us all the, like he mentioned, up-to-date, right now, speaking from the Lord.
Amen.
Well, dear saints, I think we can fellowship with you all. Increasing reassurance and increasing boldness that we believe that the Lord wants to do something new among us.
Amen.
He wants us in Northern California, all the churches and all the saints, to have a new start.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. The Lord has not given up on us, but rather he's advancing among us.
Amen.
And this has all to do with Christ as our unique content, the unique body of Christ as our one expression, and the functioning of all the members as our practice. And that this will happen not in some, as Zechariah 4 says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says Jehovah. And this spirit is embedded, engaged, with a deeper and more intensified engagement in the word of God.
Amen.
We believe this is how we will advance.
Amen.
By getting deeper into the word.
Amen.
I'd like to share a brief testimony following our brother with the outlines. A few years ago, the Lord led me in my personal time to have a small little shift that led to increasingly disproportional receiving of vitality, burden, coordination, ability to speak, all the things and above, by just one little shift in my personal time with the Lord and engagement with the word, that is emphasizing getting into the outlines, especially the ones that come out of our current seven feasts, in the way of PSRP. So typically the Lord would lead me in at least the four trainings, and sometimes with the conferences, if I can, to get into these outlines point by point, little by little, over an extended period of time, praying over each point, getting in, praying over each verse, getting into the life studies that support it, getting into the footnotes, then musing upon it for days and days and days. Oh, and then that just spontaneously impacts my function in my speaking, how I minister, how I take care of others. Oh, praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord for the way before us. Amen. Let's just follow all the churches and what the brothers has laid before us as our way to go on.
Well, my shortage and our shortage today is the matter of practice. We don't disagree with the what brothers share. We know it is the best way. We have received the highest vision. We know that we have a commission to carry out, but we don't do anything. Our shortage today is that we're short on practice. And my prayer to myself, to all of us, is that the Lord will bother us with this one word this weekend, this one word, practice. The outline is the way, right? PSRP is the way to practice to be constituted, to be reconstituted, right? For us to be constituted, we have to practice. There is no other way. We often pray, Lord, I want to be reconstituted. The Lord tells us, oh, go do some prayer reading. Then you tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be filled with your word. And the Lord said, well, spend some time studying the word. But we often don't practice. If we don't practice, we have no way to be constituted. If we don't practice PSRP, we have no way to be obedient to the heavenly vision that we have seen. If we do not practice PSRP, we will have no way to carry out this great commission that the Lord has commissioned us, has given us. That the way to carry out the Lord's recovery is to be constituted with the truth. Otherwise, we will have no Christ to minister to others. The goal of PSR is to prophesy. Because we need to be constituted with Christ so that we can dispense, we can minister this Christ into others. So the body of Christ can be built up. This is our vision, right? This is a commission that the Lord has given us. So saints, that's all practice, right? Let's spend time to practice PSRP to carry out this great commission.